This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. Now, in about 15 minutes, we're going to be taking a look at the tussle between UMNO and Bursatu with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute. But right now, we're taking a look at the subject of Bank Negara, because the Monetary Policy Committee will meet tomorrow. And of course, the big question is whether the MPC will cut rates in response to the economic fallout from COVID-19.
Yeah, because Bank Negara has already cut rates twice this year by 25 basis points in January and March, and the OPR currently stands at 2.5%. So most economists are expecting Bank Negara to cut the OPR by 50 basis points tomorrow. But there are some who believe this may not be the best move at this time.
So joining us on the line to discuss this line of thought is William Wiranto, economist at OCBC Bank. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, William. Can you hear us?
Morning. Yes. Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So now, you've suggested in a recent report that Bank Negara may keep the rate unchanged when it meets tomorrow. So given the urgent need for liquidity in the economy at the moment, why would BNM hold the OPR rate at the current 2.5%?
Well, we agree there's an obvious need in terms of cutting rates to boost growth. There's also space to do it as well, given subdued inflation. And to be perfectly honest, the easy and safe way for me to do this is to just say everyone's right. Let's just say there's a rate cut. But something doesn't feel right, and I think it might just hold rate unchanged. The main reason is, as you know, there's been a 6-month loans moratorium. So the benefit for any cut now is limited by a suspended monetary policy transmission mechanism. Individuals, SMEs, that make up 75% of loans in Malaysia, they don't have to service their loans, at least in the interim. So interest rate cuts now will not mean very much to them in terms of immediate cash flow help and also in terms of confidence boost. So medicine has very little impact if you take it now, so why take it now? And also, there's a bit of side effect to consider in terms of the medicine of rate cuts. In this case, banking sector has been suffering quite a bit in terms of the loans payment deferral and also likely uptick in the non-performing loan. So if you cut rates now, it depresses margins more, make it more challenging for these banks to dispense more loans when the eventual economic recovery does take place.
So when should Bank Negara actually cut rates then?
So let's be clear, we think Bank Negara is indeed going to cut rates. In fact, we look at year-end rates at least at 2%, meaning at least 50 basis points cut from where we are now, if not even lower, depending on how the global economy recovers or not later this year. Timing-wise, I think it's going to be perhaps closer to the end of the 6-month loans, perhaps as long as, you know, even in September meeting 4 months from now, or perhaps if the economy really does tank even further, they'll do it in July. So May, I think, is still too early at this stage.
So what other options does Bank Negara have in terms of responding to the crisis apart from OPR cuts?
Sure, I think it has a whole gamut of arsenal at its disposal apart from cutting rates. It might opt to trim the reserve requirement ratio for banks. It's currently at 2%. They last cut it by 1 full percentage point in mid-March, releasing about 30 billion ringgit of liquidity to the banking sector, to the economy overall. This time around, it might do more cuts as well to that degree. I think Bank Negara might also adopt some measures to help SMEs directly. As you know, small and medium enterprises have been suffering quite a bit because of the COVID-19 impact. Bank Negara might essentially, you know, offer term loans at preferential rates to banks for banks to then pass them on to SMEs. As last week also, we saw Bank Negara busily in terms of adopting liberalisation of the Forex policy and provide more incentives for corporations to hedge. So long story short, I think it can do quite a number of things apart from, again, from just cutting rates.
But the other issue facing Bank Negara has always been trying to manage household debt. Is that a concern now if really households are feeling the pinch from COVID-19?
Definitely household debt, you know, in terms of level, it's been quite high for Malaysia. I think second highest after Korea within the Asian region. But it has since come down a bit and over the last few years because of proactive actions by central bank authorities overall. Nonetheless, I think it's still at a high level. They will be at the back of the mind. It is more, I would say, more of a medium-term risk rather than a short-term one. As you know, we're battling with a lot of clear and present danger in terms of the COVID-19's impact on the economy. So while that the household debt issue would bear on their mind, it wouldn't be a number one priority at this point.
So, William, the government has announced a reopening of the economy through the implementation of a conditional movement control order, or a CMCO. So while it is still early days, do you see these measures as being adequate to cushion the impact of 6 weeks of an economic stoppage?
Sure. I think broadly speaking, the reopening of economy would definitely help in terms of saving some businesses, hence also saving jobs. I think unfortunately, the economy won't enjoy a so-called grand reopening with lion dance and all that. It wouldn't be a much more subdued reopening. For one, as you know, majority of state-level governments are still hesitant in reopening fully. We're talking about economic heavyweights like Selangor and Penang, for instance. So, and whatever the government's state-level, federal government level choose to do or not to do, a lot of businesses themselves are also still hesitant. If my Facebook feed is correct, my favorite Nasi Kandar shop in KL says it's only open for takeaways. All right, so no one wants to be the next virus outbreak cluster. No one wants to receive the wrong sort of publicity. So long story short, the reopening helps. We're not going to go back to normal anytime soon. There is no there anymore. Now, in terms of forecast, we have had the view that growth would be, in terms of baseline expectation, at minus 0.5% for the year, given what's the expected global outlook for Q2 number is now closer to minus 1. To be honest, we are still not quite ready to revise the growth outlook upward, despite the loosening of measures, partly because of all these complications that we mentioned earlier. Too many moving parts for now.
So if you realistically want to look at the economy, when would you actually see is probably the trough? Would it be like in the middle of the year or later towards the third quarter and before things actually start to recover?
I might be mixing hope and analysis here, but I'm hoping that, you know, globally, not just for Malaysia, but globally in the region, we're seeing a lot of economies starting to open up. So that in terms of bottoming out, you might see, you know, the later part of Q2, i.e. in the month of June, perhaps, you might see the bottoming of some of these economic indicators. But I would be quite cautious in terms of saying there's a V-shaped recovery and all that. I always joke with my team that just because my name has WW in it, I like to say economy might recover in a W shape. We're just hopeful that the second part of the W would be less sharp than the first part. The first V would be less sharp than the second V. The other way around. The second V would be less sharp than the first V. Apologies. So we're hoping that a lot of these businesses are now adapting to the new abnormal, if you will, and they're able to plug in and quickly and sort of taking some measures to at least limit the impact. So we're hoping, you know, for even if not a dip in the economic recovery does come in, it will be less sharp.
So, William, how can the government also plug the shortfall caused by prolonged low oil prices in order to meet its fiscal spending requirements?
Sure. I think, unfortunately, for Malaysia, given the high dependence on oil for revenue, a bit of a tough call at this point. I think, as you know, budget deficit is likely to pick up and pick up even more because of low oil price. So in terms of cutting expenditure, that's a key. I think some of the big projects might have to be delayed a bit, and also some of the operational side of things in terms of potentially some budget fat, so to speak, will be cut away. Maybe they'll look at, you know, some of the allowances, etc., for some of the departments. But overall, I think Malaysia might not have the ready toolkit in terms of plugging the hole in a big way. I think obviously we're familiar with GST now. There's obviously been talks about reintroducing GST at this point. But if you do that now, obviously, first of all, it carries big political costs. Second of all, it comes at a time when consumers like you and me are already suffering. I think very, very hard to envision Malaysia being able to adopt GST, even at, say, you know, lower rate than before, 2%, etc. It's just not the right time for at least 2020.
And closer to home, you know, I mean, Bank Negara would have noticed that the neighbouring central bankers such as Bank Indonesia, they've kind of moved into uncharted territories by starting to participate in primary auctions to raise money to plug this fiscal gap. Do you think it's something that we would consider here in Malaysia?
I think in some ways we live in a world that we never say never. I think as I mentioned, report to clients last week, if you see the bond holdings for Bank Negara, it's starting to pick up to about 9 trillion or so, 9 billion or so ringgit as of mid-April. That's the last data that we have. So it's picked up quite considerably. I must say that, you know, in terms of percentage of total bond outstanding is still minuscule. It's just 2.2% or so compared to, say, Indonesia's case that you mentioned, 15%. So we might get to that point, but I don't think we're there yet. I think a few considerations have to happen, including potential effects of balance sheet expansion, especially a massive one. It still remains quite uncharted territory, as you mentioned, for emerging markets in general. I know the big guys, the major guys like the Fed, BOE, BOJ, what have you, ECB, they ballooned their balance sheet without so-called side effects in terms of inflation, but it might be a different story for emerging markets. So Bank Negara might take that into consideration. It's definitely one of the policy considerations to be had, but I don't think we are there just yet.
And what would you consider our other key risks facing, let's say, Malaysia in terms of from a Forex perspective also, or even from a MGS perspective? Is there a chance that we would see a potential sovereign downgrade?
Well, sovereign rating agencies have been quite busy. They should be. A lot of ballooning of fiscal deficit, a lot of debt levels to consider. For Malaysia's case, I don't think a downgrade is happening just yet. One of the things to consider is this. A lot of rating agencies, they actually do their ratings in terms of peer comparison. So if everyone else is suffering, everyone else's deficit is also jumping up, then even if yours, Malaysia's case also goes up, it might not be a standout in that case, in the scenario. So I don't think we're looking at sovereign downgrade scenario at this point.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, William. And that was William Wiranto, economist at OCBC Bank, giving us his thoughts on Bank Negara's Monetary Policy Committee meeting, whether or not he expects to see a cut.
And actually, I have to say I made an error on air because the MPC meeting is actually today, not tomorrow. So sorry for the confusion. We will know later today whether Bank Negara is going to cut rates.
So stay tuned later today. We'll be bringing you the latest news. MPC meeting today, not tomorrow. What can you do when it comes to the, movement control orders? Everyone's days are just blurring together, really. And William is taking kind of a slightly contrarian view compared to the rest of the street. He doesn't really expect BNM to cut tomorrow, but
no.
He does expect a cut perhaps a little bit later down the line when some of the other measures like the loan moratoriums have had a bit of a chance to take effect.
Yeah, because when I look at the Bloomberg numbers in terms of the number of analysts that economists that cover Malaysia and give their OPR guidance, he's one of the odd one out. Most of them expect a 50 bips mm-hmm. cut tomorrow. I think on the back of the fact that the argument is that the economy isn't doing well, so cutting rates will actually spur some sort of investments, capex. But he has some logic. His point is, why do it now? Because basically everyone has a moratorium. So if you want to use it, keep your powder dry for when you really need it, and maybe that will come in September. But who knows? We will only know probably around lunchtime or in the afternoon for sure what Bank Negara wants to do.
And if you want to keep up to date on the latest news on that, be sure to keep tuning in here on BFM. But right now we are heading into the 9:30 news bulletin. And after that, we're taking a look at the tussle between UMNO and Bersatu with Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.